Thanks for downloading this show from PC One. Before we get rolling, here's a word from one of the folks who helped bring you this podcast.
Podcast One presents The Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show with Heather and Terry Dubrow. Does it work or is it a crock? No worries. Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig are on the case.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Welcome back, everybody.
Hello. Oh, I'm so tired.
I feel like you open every show like that now. Why are you? What?
So last night, I had an emergency. I had to go into the hospital to see a patient.
True.
So I had a patient who had a surgical procedure. They flew in from, I think, Oklahoma or something.
Mm-hmm.
And this girl had a congenital deformity, and it was something I'd never seen before. I'd done this kind of surgery, but never on exactly this setting. And I'm in the middle of dinner. I took my staff out to dinner for my assistant's birthday.
That was so sweet. She was so excited. By the way, how long has Heidi been with us?
Since 2000.
17 years?
Yes, 2000.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. Ever since I
moved. Boy, she was a fetus when we met her.
I know. And so I took her to Nobu. They just opened a Nobu in Newport Beach. And, oh, my gosh, Nobu is so expensive.
It's outrageously expensive.
It's craziness. It's like the nap. I mean, it's like if you if you take the normal dinner, what's a normal dinner for four at a restaurant?
Honey, really, that's like a range. It could be, you know, $50. It could be $5,000.
No,
because it kind of depends.
No, there's an acceptable number that you consider for a restaurant.
I think a mid-range restaurant, you're expecting to pay what, $30, $40 a person?
Okay.
$40? Looking at Heather.
Okay, so
Heather, what do you think? Heather H.
Okay, this might put my price point a little low, but I would say like $20 a person.
Well, where are you going?
Wherever I could afford, Heather.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That's my point. There's different price ranges. Like, you could go to Marie Callender's and pay like $20 a person.
Okay, so this is a dinner. Let's compare it to like a steak dinner at a restaurant, a steak restaurant like, you know, Mastro's or something like that.
Or even like Red Lobster, you go and you get a steak. It's probably $35 a person.
So when 40. If you're going to buy a gift certificate for someone for two,
mm-hmm.
to a restaurant,
I would give $100.
Give $100.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's $50 a person, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So $50 a person times four, that would be $200.
Right.
This was five times that.
Whoa.
And, I mean,
the heck did you order?
We ordered sushi and we ordered cod and that Wagyu thing. And the drag was that...
Wagyu, by the way, is like $45 an ounce.
Yeah. Well, it's...
How many ounces did you order?
You know, I mean, it's a little bit, whatever. Mm. I mean, you know, I didn't drink, but they drank. You know, it was her birthday. And this girl's been with me, my right-hand assistant, for 17
years.
No,
it's cool.
And I've never taken her out to dinner for her birthday, ever. So this was the first time.
I wasn't invited, by the way.
Her spouse wasn't invited. Either was my anesthesiologist or my nurses, okay? They all have significant others. So...
Do you think it makes a difference when you're the one paying or no? Oh, we have a call. Hold on.
Regarding what makes a difference?
If I get to come or not. No?
You mean you want to be the fifth person?
I do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have come anyway, but it's nice to be included. I'm kidding. I don't care. It was totally fine. All right. Big show today. Lots of calls to take and things to talk about. But can I tell you something?
What?
Coco socks. I can't stand it. They're shrinking.
They're shrinking.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I got to get a new washer and dryer. You know, we've talked about this before, but I'm ready. I'm ready to pull the trigger. Home Depot has got this brand new Samsung Flex Wash Flex Dry washer and dryer pair.
What's so special about it?
By the way, I can barely wrap my brain around this. It's the first ever to allow you to wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time in the same machine.
How does it do that?
I don't know. It's crazy technology.
That's cool.
So that when you're doing your laundry, like, you don't have to worry about the whites getting with the colors, getting, you know, your whites turn pink and all that kind of thing.
Right.
And there's a large tumble dryer for every day. So, you know, like, you got the towels and all that stuff. Plus, they have this flat dryer. I know you don't really know about this. You maybe don't even care, honey. But this is where I put, like, your gross sneakers to dry or your, like, a delicate sweater.
I used to wash my own clothes, by the way, when I was growing
up. By the way, that was so many years ago.
At age 12, I did my own wash.
That was like 47, 57 years ago, by the way.
No, it was like 10 years.
Here's something else that's good. FlexWash has a steam wash option for removing stains and a self-clean. I love the self-clean.
Cool.
It's so good because it keeps it odor-free. Because what happens is, if you don't have that, which we never had before.
It's stinky.
No, you have to leave the door open.
Oh.
Or else it gets stinky. And if you leave the door open, sometimes the light stays on. And you know what that means?
What?
Paying for the light to be on.
Oh, right.
Oh, it's like a vicious, vicious cycle. No pun intended.
Okay.
And the multi-steam option on the Flex Dry, it steams away odors and wrinkles and optimizes drying temperatures to avoid damage, so those shrinking socks of Coco's will no longer happen.
You know what the pain is, though? You put it in, you have to stand there and wait for it to end.
You don't!
What do you mean you don't?
It's connected to the Wi-Fi.
And so what does that mean?
Oh, my gosh. It lets you start and stop it, and it gives you an alert on your phone when it's done. This isn't like college where you have to stand there because you're afraid someone's going to take your stuff out of the washer.
It texts you when it's done.
It's like at a restaurant when your table's ready, they buzz you.
That's so cool.
Is that awesome? Home Depot.
Good job.
Flex Wash, Flex Dry. Thank you, Samsung.
We need, smart. We need one.
We need two. Hi there. You're on with Heather and Terry.
Hi. Thanks so much for taking my call.
Sure. Hi. Thanks for calling. What's your question?
So my question is actually, it's about liposuction on the legs, on the lower legs.
Right.
I'm pretty lean, but I just don't have good ankles or like lean knees. I just have some extra fullness on the tops of my knees, and then just not great definition between my calves and my ankles. And I was wondering if a little bit of lipo ever has good results, or if it just kind of, my fear is that it would make the skin kind of dimpled and weird looking.
Or loose.
Okay.
Cankles.
First of all, that
is a
super interesting question, and it's interesting that you asked that question, because Heather and I, introducing the show tonight, I was about to talk about this patient who I did a similar type of procedure on, and she ended up going to the emergency room and had a total false alarm last night. But I had to go to the emergency room to see her for it, and it was either it was a disaster or nothing, and it turned out to be, you know, nothing. So, okay, so what you're asking about is one of my favorite areas to not only discuss but to operate on, and that's called cankle liposuction. And it's so rude, the term cankles, isn't it, honey? Cankles?
Well, but I mean, it's descriptive. We know what we're talking about.
Right. So cankles refers to the idea of someone who doesn't have a distinction between their calves and their ankles. And in particular, what happens is they get fatty accumulation from half the ankle or half the calf all the way down to the ankle, so that they don't have the normal anatomic features you see in the ankle. And that means you don't have the inner and outer bones called the medial and lateral malleolus, and you don't have definition of the Achilles tendon.
And you can't lose weight and lose a cankle.
Right. And so they're not connected to the metabolic weight loss and gain system in your body. And basically, no matter what you do, unless you do surgery, you're always going to have cankles. Girls hate cankles, and if you look in a plastic surgery textbook, it tells you there's nothing you can do about it. Okay, so here's the interesting story, at least interesting to me. When I did a TV show in 2003 and 2004 called The Swan, I started to do a bunch of the girls on the show as a makeover show had cankles. And so I had done a few, even though it's really sort of not recommended that you do it. And the reason it's not recommended is because very few plastic surgeons know how to do it, and there's a very steep learning curve. It takes a long while before you actually get good at it. But I got good at it instantly because they put it on the show, and suddenly I was just inundated with cankle surgery. And for the last 15, 20 years, I've been doing tons of cankle surgery. So why is cankle surgery so difficult, and why particularly in this area, must you go to someone who doesn't tell you, oh, I've done this before, but who absolutely you know for sure has done this more than 25 times? Because it takes about 25 times to get good at it. Because opposed to other areas where liposuction is really an easy procedure, and even a dermatologist can do liposuction, who, in my opinion, have very minimal technical skills because they spend most of the time in their training doing acne and funguses and rashes and things. It's difficult because you not only are just suctioning down an area, but you're actually defining what's underneath those areas. So you actually have to give almost like a deformity, because if you look at the typical ankle, you get these very deep concavities in the areas of the Achilles and the inner and outer bones. So it's really a complicated, difficult procedure, and you're exactly right. If it's done by someone who isn't experienced, who isn't telling you the truth, that they've done it a million times, a whole bunch of times, then you are going to have irregularities, and it's a real problem to fix. With me, I got very lucky. And by the way, I'm not saying, do not, for the average person who hears our show, don't come to me for cankle surgery. I'm really busy. Unless it's really bad and really difficult, you can find another plastic surgeon because, well, I mean, if you really want to, you can come to me. My point is,
don't come to me. Don't call me.
My point is, you know, I do difficult revisional surgery. Cankles for me at this point is pretty easy, but you have to be really precise and weirdly really aggressive at the same time. So cankle surgery is weirdly life-changing for girls who need it, because if you have cankles and you know who you are out there, you hate it. Don't you hate your cankles?
Yeah, they're not my favorite part of my body, for sure.
Well, it's a bummer about stuff like that. Like, I have cellulite. That's the bane of my existence. I don't have cankles, but I have that. But it's so frustrating when you have something that you can't fix the old-fashioned way. You know, you can't work out more and get rid of the cankles. I have limited resources for the cellulite. It's awful. But you actually, there's such a good procedure that can fix that. The question for me that I want to bring up is the knees, because, well, first of all, if you're going to go get the cankle surgery done, just make sure you go to someone that's done it a million times.
How do you find that? Okay. That's the problem.
So you got to go to a board-certified plastic
that's
surgeon, and then you have to ask them pointedly how many they've done. Ask for before and afters, and you may even go so far as to ask for a referral to the patient so you can talk to them and find out what it was like.
I think you have to see their books, and they have to have more than 10 in them. Because
do you have more than – well, you probably don't have pictures anymore.
I have probably 10. I mean, after 10, I stopped taking it. But, you know, let's be honest. I was on Fox doing cankles, meaning – and Fox Network, and now I'm on Botched. I mean, people know – you know, and plus, I don't need the business. If
you
I
just,
tell you,
you
I
just
do cankles,
need to figure out if they've done a multitude of those procedures. Because although not difficult, they have to be in experienced hands.
That procedure is difficult.
Oh, it is difficult. Oh dear, I didn't know
difficult.
That. Very difficult.
Honey, you have to sculpt out the ankles to show the bones. If you look at a normal ankle, and it's a very complicated structure. It really is. So you have to really, in the areas behind the bones and on each side of the Achilles tendon, you have to grind out the fat so that you basically have no fat, but just above it you have to leave a little bit. I even do, when I cankles, I do it on the foot. You have to actually go onto the foot to do it.
Oosh.
I know.
All right, but here's my question is, you were also talking about the knees, right?
Yeah, totally.
For me, the problem, and I have knee issues, but you know what I did? So I tried that Endy Med.
Endy Med. What
are okay.
You, yeah, tell,
Endy
tell
Med.
You what
E-N-D-Y-M-E-D. So have you heard of ThermiRF?
No.
Okay, so ThermiRF is this thing that supposedly, I haven't done this one, but supposedly they stick this thing in you and it's invasive and they put energy in you and it's supposed to shrink your skin mm-hmm. and tighten it up. I've seen the before and afters. They weren't that exciting to me. So I tried this thing called EndyMed that Terry has in his office, because I thought the before and afters looked pretty good and it's non-invasive and no recovery and whatever. And it's sort of like, it feels like a hot stone massage. And what it's supposed to do is melt the fat and tighten the skin. Because I feel
right.
like I don't have like fat, or like a little fat. Like, I think we all have a little fat above the knee. But I feel like my upper knees were looking old. And I will tell you, I've had four treatments and I swear go look at my Instagram at Heather Dubrow and look at my Mother's Day picture. Someone said my legs look skeletal, whatever, or I needed a tan. I'm a little pale. It's me. But if you look at my knees, man, I think they look so much better than they did like 3 months ago.
I'm impressed with EndyMed. I think the radio frequency beams do tighten the skin. They for sure do reduce the fat. I will tell you, knee liposuction is easy. Any dodo who knows how to do liposuction can do knee liposuction. It's one of the easiest areas to do. It's pretty resistant to a complication unless you have very big knees and very loose skin. It's really easy. But once you get below the knee onto the calves and ankles, you really need experience. Here's the trick. You go into a plastic surgeon's office. You say, hey, I want to do my ankles. Oh, he's thinking, oh, I'd love to do this. And he's going to tell you that he's done a bunch. And you say, how many is a bunch? Oh, you know, I'm very experienced. I've been doing liposuction a long time. How much is a bunch? Oh, you know, have you done more than 10? Oh, you know, I've done And the problem is, if he outright lies to you, then you're kind of screwed. And if he tells you the truth and he says he's done 6, run. Because, again, it's one of those areas I love doing. It's very interesting, but it takes a lot of experience. There you go.
Right.
Okay.
Well, here's my other just real quick follow-up question is that I have a friend who got lipo on her saddlebags, and the fat tissue was reduced, but there was a little more cellulite there. And I guess my question is if I'll get more – well, I don't have any cellulite on my ankles, thank goodness, and my knees are pretty fine, but – my question is if the skin will dimple in those areas.
Okay, that's a very good question. So in general, liposuction of the cankles and ankles, the calves and ankles, they don't dimple because of cellulite. They're kind of a cellulite-resistant area. It's very rare that you actually see someone who has cankle cellulite. And that's because the skin's very tight. The tricky thing about cankle and calf and ankle liposuction is that you have to be so aggressive in certain areas to basically hollow them out to give you the normal contours of the ankle. So if you blow it, you don't get cellulite, but you get weird, bizarre dents. Now, let me just give you 2 seconds on liposuction and cellulite. Liposuction is one of these, in my opinion. Okay, so liposuction is the second most common procedure in the United States after breast augmentation. It is one of, I think, a procedure that unless you're a very, very good candidate, and that means you have very tight skin, that it's prone to cellulite, which is irregular skin. And if you if you go to a doctor to have liposuction done and you have any component at all, cellulite already or loose skin, you say to the doctor, underdo it. Underdo it. Because if he doesn't underdo it a little bit, undercorrect it, he will give you worse cellulite or worse laxity of the skin, and you're trading one problem for another.
Right.
Liposuction.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I do a lot of liposuction because I'm a plastic surgeon, obviously, so I do a ton. I don't like liposuction for 2 reasons, except for the calf and ankles. Number one, it's kind of an idiot procedure. You know, I mean, let's face it, you can take a weekend course, dermatologists do it. Not that they're not skilled, but, you know, let's be honest, dermatologists aren't surgeons. They do a 2 or 3 year residency. 10 minutes of it is spent doing dermatologic surgery, which basically means picking zits and liposuction. So, I mean, you know, it doesn't require much skill, much experience, and you can do it okay. But it's when doctors try to be really aggressive and really thorough. Look, doctors are good people. They're trying to give you a good result. They want a lot of patients. But liposuction innately, inherently, is just a good minus procedure at best, unless you've got very tight skin, and most people who want liposuction have a component of irregularities, meaning cellulite and loose skin. So if you're going to get liposuction, yes, go to a board-certified plastic surgeon, but all board-certified plastic surgeons have done a lot of liposuction. Just tell him or her, you know what? You don't have to be so aggressive. Underdo me a little bit, because it's the aggressive nature of it that ruins the tissue, that disrupts the fibers in the tissue called elastin fibers that give you that taut skin that make you have no cellulite and keep your skin laxity intact. So there you go. By the way, finally, finally, one more thing. The most common areas of liposuction are the abdomen and flanks. The flanks is the best area to do liposuction, the most resistance to irregularities. The tummy is okay if you don't have loose skin. The outer thighs are pretty good. I'd call them B. The inner thighs are C plus at best. Don't do inner thigh liposuction unless your skin's really, really tight or you're having very, very little done. Knees are an A minus area. That's it. That's pretty much it. That's all I have to say about liposuction. I'm sticking to it.
Okay, but remember, it's kind of...
How long do I have to do it before, like, I know it's better to do it earlier because your skin is elastic.
Right.
So, like, when do I need to get this done by?
Okay, so if you're the type of skin, how old are you?
26.
Ah, that's good. And have you kept your weight pretty steady or have you fluctuated a lot up and down?
No, I've been like 5'9 and like 125 pounds since puberty.
Oh, you sound like the perfect candidate. Let's assume you've got nice taut skin, you keep your weight steady as you have. You're kind of, based on what you're telling me, kind of in the category of optimal patient. So how long do you have? You know, you probably have a lot of years. There's no rushing, okay? But, I mean, I would do it sooner.
Cool.
If you know you're going to do it sooner than later because the more elastic your skin, the better you'll do with liposuction. And once you do it and you have a good result, it basically sticks, okay?
Right. Okay, awesome.
But remember, I think the mistake is that people want to get aggressive and you want like it all gone. Get it all. But it's kind of like ordering a steak at a restaurant. If you order a steak medium and it comes a little undercooked, you can always send it back. If they overcook it, it's done. So if they overdo it and they get too close to your skin, you can get irregularities and rippling and all that kind of thing. So better to, you know, just tell them to do what's appropriate and you can always get a touch up later.
Yeah.
Right. And the situation isn't like so bad that like if I did get an irregularity, I would have wished I had never done it because it's not that bad of a situation.
Okay. And I'm so glad you said it, but let me just tell you something. Doctors, plastic surgeons, they're businessmen. They want to pay their bills. They will all underplay the potential for irregularities because if we are being honest, liposuction irregularities, if you look at the percentage of patients that people operate on that get irregularities, it's over 25%.
Is that right?
Yeah. So I think liposuction is just an okay procedure. If we operated only on the perfect candidates for liposuction, we couldn't pay our bills.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you so much, you guys. I really appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
My pleasure. Okay, so to continue with my story, I did this procedure on this woman.
Yep.
And her father is a medical professional. They flew in with their sister to come and have this very specialized procedure done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I operate on her. I'm having dinner with my staff. And just as they're about to bring out the $5 million Wagyu beef, I get this text.
Where I was not invited.
I get...
Where I was home alone with four children. Go on.
Weird. Okay. I get this text that says, your patient so-and-so is being 911 emergency ambulanced to the emergency room. And she either has this horrible thing called a compartment syndrome where there's bleeding in the compartments of the arm, which is cutting off the blood supply to the hand and could lead to permanent non-use of your hand, or she has, you know,
nothing.
So go ahead.
I was going to ask a question. I was going to say, I've heard of compartment syndrome before. Doesn't that usually happen when a patient is strapped down at the table and the restraints are on too tight?
That is one. Well, that's a huge number. Yes. Any reason.
But that is compartment
syndrome. Any reason why the compartments of your legs or your arms get swollen and they're resistant to swelling because the compartments are tight.
So what did you do on her?
So I did some liposuction.
So why would she get compartment syndrome?
Because I did it in an unusual place.
Where'd you do it?
The arm. Forearm. Like forearm.
Oh, forearm. That is unusual. Yeah. Upper arm, not unusual.
Not unusual. So I did
Chrissy Teigen just said she had liposuction in her armpit, but she means like that little space in front of the
nothing.
Armpit.
That's right. The breast area, really. That's called the tail of Spence, by the way.
The tail of Spence.
Yeah. So there's this. So in the old days, and by the way, just to cut to the chase, I go into the emergency room.
Yeah.
I didn't eat the Wagyu because I immediately want to throw up.
course.
Because I've either massively blown it or there's nothing. So they finish the meat and they have dessert, and I'm waiting for the ER doc to call me. The ER doc goes, well, I don't know, because they don't know about plastic surgery. So I finish the meal. I drag my staff into the emergency
you
room with
did?
Me. Yes.
You did?
They did the surgery with me, and I figured Heidi, my assistant, would put
That's so interesting. Have they ever done that before?
No, but we're sitting there at Nobu. I looked out the window because it's a new restaurant, Newport Beach, that's on the water, and it's nothing but windows. And to my left is Hoag Hospital, staring there through the window. And I'm looking at all the ambulances, and I'm like, oh my God, I basically want to vomit because do I have a major emergency?
Damn, you wasted the Wagyu.
I know. So we go in, and we took the dressing off, and I look at the patient and go, so this is called bruising. And bruising happens after surgery. Yeah, I probably should have warned you, but...
Thought I did.
So,
signed a consent form.
Yeah, this is a bruise. So you can go back to the hotel now. Thank you.
Oh, what a relief. And then you had a cocktail. All right, wait, hold that thought 1 second because we have a call.
Yeah.
But, honey, how many pictures do you have on your phone?
Probably about 800.
I have 3,629.
You ever heard of delete?
No, I can't delete. And the problem is I want to do something with them and I've spent time taking them and I love them. And then they just sit there and they rot on my phone. Well, canvaspeople.com has this cool thing. So it's a photo to camera service that takes your favorite pictures and turns them into artwork.
Artwork?
Yeah.
Like you can hang on the wall?
Hang on the wall, like canvas wrapped frames.
That's cool.
Yeah. So all you have to do is look through your camera roll, you find your favorite photo, mm-hmm. and they will put it on a beautiful gallery wrapped canvas, and you can hang it on your wall.
Like if you go on vacation or there's a wedding.
Yeah, or a baby.
That's cool.
Baby or like Mother's Day.
So rather than have to look for your phone for memories, you can put it on your wall.
Isn't that so cool? You know, we have that wall of photos in our house of all the family.
Yeah.
Like that's what you could do. You can create a whole wall of pictures that are memories.
That's very cool.
Yeah. And this is a cool offer. Are you ready?
Yep.
Normally, an 11 by 14 photo canvas is $69.99 plus shipping, which is actually, honestly, if you've ever looked at the price of art, very reasonable.
Totally cheap.
But today, for listeners of our show, guess how much it is?
Half that.
Zero. $0.
Zero.
Zero. You just pay shipping.
Wow.
They're so sure you're going to love it. They're giving it to you for free.
What's the promo code?
Use Dubrow, D-U-B-R-O-W. That's how you get the special offer. So go to canvaspeople.com, upload your picture, select the 11 by 14 size, and enter promo code Dubrow in the promo code box in the cart to get that special $0 price. That's canvaspeople.com, promo code Dubrow.
How do you spell Dubrow?
D-U-B-R-O-W. Great for Father's Day, by the way.
Great name.
Hey there, you're on with Heather and Terry.
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
Talking to my mother, and she believes that possibly menopause is causing headaches for her. And so I was wondering what the doctor feels about bioidentical hormone replacement, if there's anything good there, or if you just have to let it nature run its course.
That's interesting, because Heather and I both have opinions about this. And I will just tell you in an abbreviated way and we'll expand further, as I totally believe in hormone replacement therapy. But not only do I believe in hormone replacement therapy for women, I believe in hormone replacement therapy for men, which is a relatively new and semi-controversial field, which we've discussed on Dr. Miss Guinea Pig before. But I firmly believe that one of the most important expanding fields of medicine, and will continue to expand and become even more recognized in the future, is hormone replacement therapy. And not only that, not the estrogens and the progesterones and everything else, but I think that as we start to get older, we're really identifying that there's lots of things we should start to take very early on, even in prevention of where we ultimately are all going, which is elevated cholesterol, elevated blood pressure, and so on and so forth. But I'm very into bioidentical hormones. I think if you go to an OBGYN who specializes in bioidentical hormones, or you go to an anti-aging doctor like Lester Lee down in Newport Beach, that you can get a cocktail that will absolutely tune your body and prevent things like headaches and night sweats and weight changes and all those things that happen as a result of age. And I was just talking to Paul on the way to his office today because we were shooting Botch. We were shooting a special scene for his birthday at his office. We threw him a surprise party, actually. And he was telling me that he was getting together last night with a female plastic surgeon who was one of the people who trained me at UCLA a long time ago. And I said, wow, what does she look like now? How old is she? And he said, she's 83. And I go, so what is she doing? She says, you know, she's operating 2 days a week. I said, operating at 83? He said, not only does she look amazing, she walks in as if she's, you know, 50. And they start talking about anti-aging and bioidentical hormones. And of course, as a plastic surgeon, you're completely wired and dialed into all of those things you can do to maximize your health, wellness, and beauty. And to me, this area is super important. If I were a woman, I would start to look into hormone replacement therapy as I was getting into my 40s, and I would start using all of the sort of new frontier type medicines that are available now. You know, it's interesting for right even before you go into menopause and premenopausal states, things like DHEA, vitamin D, low dose levels of antihypertensive, which means blood pressure medications, a baby aspirin. I actually think that everyone should be on about 5 to 15 different types of replacements as they start to get into their 40s, 50s, 60s, and particularly beyond. Plus, of course, I believe in resistance training and cardiovascular, you know, workouts and so on. But I'm a huge fan. What do you think, honey?
Okay. So your mom's having headaches from the menopause symptoms?
She thinks so. She had cancer in her early 30s. So she had, it was in the carotid gland, and she had radiation to her head from that.
Yep.
And they also removed the gland. And so that kind of, she has higher levels of prolactin.
Oh, yeah.
So and she's like, they think she's a nursing mother by looking at those, her prolactin levels are so high. But they
but she's had an MRI of her brain, right? She's fine.
Yeah, she's been to Mayo Clinic, all those kinds of things, all the time. So she's fine. We just can't figure out what the headaches are from. So she's thinking they're possibly hormonal, but all these medicines she takes to help with the hormones, they give her a headache.
Ah.
It's totally possible. I mean, you know, I think for me, I agree with Terry. I think that hormone replacement therapy is excellent. I actually went to, I go to Dr. Lee. He's awesome. And he gave me this whole blood workup and said I had superhuman blood because I'm getting to that age too. And I've had symptoms of things. And he put me on this whole regimen. But you know what? My body, I'm so sensitive to things. I couldn't tolerate most of the replacement therapies and decided that I was probably better off just kind of muddling through.
But you're not menopausal yet, honey.
No, but what are they called? Perimenopausal? To be in the 5-6 years surrounding it kind of thing?
But in what way are you perimenopausal?
You know, hot flashes, that kind of thing. I have symptoms of that, but not terrible. But here's the thing. This is my point. My point is, because I actually just had my annual with my GYN the other day, and we were talking about this and hormone replacement therapy. I have, like, no testosterone in my body, apparently. But I don't. Mm-hmm. I'm not symptomatic because of it. So I tried it, I didn't like it, and I don't take it anymore. My point is that it's really different for everyone. And what works for you may not work for your mom. What works for your mom might not work for her friend. And you kind of have to really just play with it. It reminds me of when I did fertility, when I was trying to have kids. You know, fertility is such a known frontier and an unknown frontier all at the same time, because each patient is different. Each set of circumstances with both partners is different. And I find the same thing with this hormone replacement therapy, because you really need to figure out what works for you and what doesn't. My recommendation is, if they give you a whole bunch of things to take at the same time, you're never going to know what the culprit is of that headache.
Right.
So, I mean, it's kind of like, I don't know if you have kids, but it's kind of like when you start feeding your kids solid food and you have to do one at a time, see if they're allergic to anything. You really have to go to a base level and introduce one thing at a time.
I think that's good advice.
And really see how each thing affects you. So start with one and go, okay, I like that. I feel better on that. I've tried it for 4 or 5 weeks. I'm not having a headache. I'm not having symptoms. This is a good med for me. Okay, well, they've also suggested that I take Y. All right. Let me try Y. Oh, you know what? Y doesn't make me feel so good. And then you have to figure out if it's a combination of X and Y together or if it's just Y alone. It's a long-term process. It's a marathon. It's not a sprint. You can't have someone just throw a bunch of stuff at you and say, here, go take all this stuff. You'll feel better.
Yeah, but the one thing I would caution you on is don't be one of those type of people who you get put on a program of bioidentical or other hormone replacement, and you don't like it, and you just say, it didn't work for me, and you just kill it. What you do is you start scaling back one of the things, moving forward in other things. You play with it till you find out the program that works for you, because if you don't, then you're never really going to enjoy the advantages of the new frontiers of this field of anti-aging and wellness as we get older. So tell your mom to go to her doctor, or go to a person who does just this. There are actually people who just do this, and say, you know what? I'm on these things. This is giving me a headache, or I'm having headaches. I've already had an MRI in my brain. I don't have a prolactin problem. I don't have a an anterior brain mass or whatever, pituitary tumor. And so, you'll be shocked. The people who specialize this will look at the program. I'm not saying this about your mom, because you might already be with a specialist, but they'll look at the program and go, oh yeah, this is what, it's like going to your dermatologist for advanced plastic surgery. You go, yeah, you know what? That's not really what he does. It's one of the things he does, but it's not, he's not a specialist. You go to a specialist, she's going to be put on a different program. They will dial her into to hormone replacement therapy that will optimize what she's trying to do and minimize the side effects,
So it'd be like an anti-aging doctor. Is it who you're recommending?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah.
I'm Googling in our area.
Yeah. Anti-aging doctors are internists generally who have decided to specialize in this area of medicine. And they are practicing something that's light years beyond what sort of your OBGYN is giving you.
I agree. I'm telling you, I've been to the anti-aging doctor and I've been to my GYN, and she's brilliant, my GYN. But this is such a particularly specialized field of medicine that they just know more.
Yeah.
Okay.
So tell her, the only thing what they do is, because it's interesting, these specialists, they put you on a program and then they sort of don't need to see you that often. So initially, they're going to ask you to pay a lot of money up front. And the really expensive ones, ready for this, want $5,000 to work you up and put you on a program.
Oof.
But don't go to one necessarily that's $5,000 unless they're sort of recommended, if you're in Manhattan and they are the people, and everything in Manhattan is $5,000. A table at the local pizzeria is $5,000 there. So, but they're going to want you to pay a bit of money up front. And if they come very well recommended, it's worth it, because it's not like you have to go a million times, So it's worth the initial investment. They're going to want to do a million blood tests, of which seem ridiculous and unreliable, but they're important. They'll put you on a program. They'll dial the program. Once you get on this program, man, it is unbelievable the effects it can have on people. You look at Hollywood actors in their 60s and 70s now, and you see these people in person who are on these programs, even though they sort of look their age, they don't look like regular people. They look like something out of the future. They're strong. Their skin is good. Their hair is thicker. They just look like they're going to live forever. They basically look like Heather Dubrow.
Oh, that's sweet. No, but you know what's so true about that is that, especially with my podcast, Heather Dubrow's World, I interview all kinds of people from all different, walks of life and all different, jobs, careers, that kind of thing. Not just Hollywood people. And it's interesting because I will see people come into my studio and they look so much old. I'm thinking in my head, they're probably around 70. And something will come up about age, and I'll realize, oh my gosh, this guy is 56. He's younger than Terry, and he looks like he could be his dad.
Wait, what?
Well, you're 58.
56 younger than Terry?
Yeah, you're almost 60.
Since when am I older than 56?
Yeah, about 2 years ago.
But I have the body. but I have the body of a 30-year-old.
Yes, just ask you.
I'm going to take my shirt off right now.
Oh, God.
I wish this was on
TV. Don't embarrass everyone at podcast.
Hold on a second. There, it's off.
All right.
Shred it.
Anyway, moving on. Point being, that, you know, Hollywood does it right and they know how to take care of themselves. And there's hints and tips and tricks. And, you know, a lot of them are in our book, Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. But also this anti-aging specialty
is where it's at.
Is totally where it's at. And we have friends all over the country, mostly in the medical field, and their spouses that are onto this, that are looking and feeling young for years and years and years.
Yeah. So get into
get
it.
Get on the program.
Get your mom on the program. Okay.
Well, thank you. We would listen to you all week, Lisa. Thanks so much.
Oh, thank you. Got to take a quick break, but I got to tell you, I was driving up here to LA today.
Yeah.
And you know what I was thinking?
What?
I can't read in the car.
No.
It makes me sick.
Your stomach.
It makes me.
This happened to you last week. You got sick.
I can't read in the car. I used to be able to.
Yeah, yeah.
Now I can't. I can't look at my phone because it makes my eyes water, especially when I'm wearing lashes. And then I can't read in the car. And I've really been enjoying reading with Max, our 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
We just read Everything together, and now we're going to see the movie coming out. Actually, I don't even know if she wants to go with me. She wants to go with her friends.
So you need an audiobook, clearly.
I need an audiobook. How genius is that? Penguin Random House, they have audiobooks that range from everything. They have, like, the things me and Natalie like the self-help books and inspiring listens, health and wellness audiobooks, thrilling, fast-paced novels. And if, you know, like, if sometimes when I go to the gym, yeah, I don't want to listen to music.
Right.
Because it's just too loud, or I can't find the right station, or sometimes it hasn't downloaded. You know, I'm not that good at technology. But listening to an audiobook is cool. It's like having a friend in your ear.
You know, I need to do that. I sit here and I listen. I've watched stupid fight videos on the way. I should be adding to my life rather than wasting time.
Yeah. I mean, build your book of library in your ear.
So what kind of books do they have?
Oh, my gosh. Deepak Chopra's on there. Elizabeth Gilbert, Haley Pomeroy, Lee Child. There's so many. So go to tryaudiobooks.com/podcast1 for more inspirational listens. And go try a free audiobook. Why not? What do you got to lose?
I'm going to do that.
Do it.
Today on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted, we are joined by actor, producer, director, author. What else can you do, Bryan Cranston?
I sweep floors.
You do?
And I load a dishwasher really, really well.
Do you unload it?
Not too many.
Okay. We could give you a job in our
house.
The
talent is loading it, not unloading.
No, the talent is buying the dishes that fit together and not the dishes that I buy that don't fit in the dishwasher.
Well, I could teach you how they can fit.
Okay, Bryan, thank you. That's Bryan Cranston on Geffen Playhouse Unscripted. Be sure to listen on Podcast One or through the Podcast One app and Apple Podcasts.
This is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
On the way here, I got a ride, and he went sort of an unusual way. And I said, why are you going this way?
Did you take
an
Uber?
Yeah, it's sort of an unusual way. And I looked up, and I realized he dropped me off at the corner of Ripped and Shredded.
Do you think that's funny?
I think it's kind of funny. No? It's not slightly funny? Wait a minute. Heather, did you think that was kind of funny? No, she's not laughing either.
By the way, there's not even a smile cracked.
Oh, jeez. Well, maybe she's...
See?
Maybe
she's perplexed.
She doesn't have a sense of humor.
No, she does have a sense of humor.
That's why we keep her behind the glass, because she doesn't have a sense of humor. Just kidding.
Oh, my God. We're going to put you behind the glass.
So, anywho, it's interesting about plastic surgery. You can be a plastic surgeon and do the hardest cases in the world and have a very high success rate, and then all of a sudden, one of your patients lands in the hospital. And you know what? I can't stand
You want to know something? Can I just tell you something? I want to tell you something. What I think is so sweet about you is that for the amount of volume that you do, meaning the amount of surgeries that you do, you so rarely, knock on wood, I don't want to jinx you, but you so rarely have an issue. And we know so many surgeons in our lives, friends, colleagues, whatnot, who, you know, they get problems. It's part of the gig. You get problems. It's surgery. It's not, you know, facial. And, you know, most people don't suffer it, and you always do. And I think that's a really nice testament to how much you care about your patients and care about what you do and take pride in your surgery. I love that, honey.
I appreciate that. I mean, I have this rule that if the patient goes into the hospital, you go in. No matter what, no matter what time of night it is, you go in and go see them. Now, if they're not in your hospital, you know, if they're not in your community, that's something. You're not flying to Albuquerque to go to their emergency room because you don't have privileges anyway. But it's a very scary field, plastic surgery. You know, it's funny. Anesthesia is one of these interesting fields because they put patients under a chemical coma, right, honey?
Mm-hmm.
And so you give them medications so that they're alive and you control their circulatory and their respiratory system so you can operate on them. But you give them medication so they're in a coma, so they don't feel any pain. So it's like an induced coma. And so it most of the time, 99% of the time, it goes perfectly. But 1% of the time, and probably less in plastic surgery because it's elective and they're healthy, it's a nightmare. So they call anesthesia 99% boredom, 1% sheer terror.
Can I ask you a question on a slightly different subject?
Yes.
I was just with a girlfriend of mine, mm-hmm. and she was telling me their implants are encapsulated.
Okay.
So she had them done, I want to say 10, 15 years ago.
So encapsulated implants means that the body has reacted to the silicone or the saline
right.
and formed scar tissue, and they're most likely hard.
Right. But I asked her, I go, did it happen right away? And she said, no.
Right.
But now they're hard, and she's dating, and she feels weird, and they're rocks, and
right.
they got bigger because they're encapsulated, whatever.
Right.
But as we were talking, because I was telling her about what happened with my hair dye.
Yes.
So for people, I don't know, if you listen to Heather DeBrosewood, you might have heard the story already, but I basically am allergic to everything, and then I can't find a hair dye to cover the gray that I'm finally getting, and I keep getting welts on my head every time I try, and then I got a patch test on my wrist, and 3 hours later, my tongue swelled and my throat closed.
By the way, is that done?
I have to tell you, my
better.
Wrist is, it's so much better.
What about the tongue?
I have a residual back of my tongue thing.
But a smaller percentage.
Tiny percentage.
Oh,
it's definitely, the trend is in the right direction.
There's no question it was related.
It's absolutely. But here's my question. And that wasn't the question. So I'm hanging out with her and then I'm telling her about my hair dye thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, well, I'm allergic to plastic and latex and whatever. She said, me too.
Mm-hmm.
And so
I know what you're about to ask.
Yeah. And so I understand that there's no plastic or latex in these implants, that they're made out of silicone.
Right.
But I just, because encapsulation is the body rejecting the implant,
mm-hmm.
that's got to be, I mean, that has to fall under some category of allergic
yeah.
reaction. And my question is, if you have a propensity, is that the right word?
That's right.
For
predisposition.
A predisposition.
Propensity is good too.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Predilection, good.
Yeah, predilection.
Also.
Oh, thank you. Right. As well. And for a reaction to latex and plastic, mm-hmm. it would just mm-hmm. feel normal that silicone mm-hmm. and that material you'd react to as well.
Intelligent patients ask me that question all the time.
And what do you intelligent doctors answer?
So the answer is we don't know.
Yep.
But the answer we'll give you is there's no known association between patients who have a predisposition to a reaction to latex and other topical things and an association with breast implant. It's not a rejection. It's not an allergy response. It's a foreign body response. The immune system has several what we call arms to it. One is, you know, there are immunologic arms that contain various sort of functions. One is to fight off infections, viruses, bacteria, form foreign body reactions, reject foreign tissue. And the foreign body reaction selects a certain arm of the immune system, sort of like it's the police force of the body. It's like, you know how there's the attorney general's office and the
yeah.
DA, district attorney, and then there's the SWAT team, and then there's the sheriff, and then there's all forms of, you know, officers
mm-hmm.
of law enforcement. It's the law enforcement with several different branches. And the one that is responsible for reacting to silicone and breast implants in general is the foreign body arm. And that is a sort of on a different part of the immune system branch system that then is, you know, reactions to the things you're talking about, the latex and the other things. So in general, studies have shown that there is no association. Otherwise, we would ask all patients they come in for breast implants, hey, do you react to this? Do you react to that? And you don't.
But there's been no study to correlate people with those kinds of sensitivities.
There have been studies and there's no apparent okay. interaction. Having said that, we don't know what causes the foreign body response. Why some people sometimes react to silicone implants, sometimes they don't.
If someone had anaphylaxis for latex, okay?
You would go ahead and use non-latex gloves and still do breast implants.
Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, we talked about breast implants last week. The one thing we didn't talk about, which is a very hot area now, and we can probably talk about this next week because this in and of itself is 15 minutes, but there's this thing, are you ready for this, called breast implant-associated anaplastic large cell lymphoma.
Holy moly.
ALCL. Ready? And that's a cancer. And that is all over the news. And if you've been watching the news and watching Good Morning America and you paying attention to the plastic surgery field in general, this is the hot area. There was an article about it in the front page of the New York Times yesterday about BIALCL, which is basically lymphoma that's caused by breast implants. And it's all over the country, and there's a lot of concern. And we can talk about it now, or we can talk about it next week, but it's something that needs to be discussed on Dr. and Ms. Guinea Pig.
No, what's let's talk question? About it. But before we get to that, just to wrap up what we were talking about, mm-hmm. I also remember I had a friend years ago. She wanted implants, mm-hmm. and she wasn't sure which size. She was super, super small.
Yes.
Do you remember her? And she used to go to the gym all the time.
Yes.
And you gave her a pair of implants to wear in her bra.
Yeah.
Just to, like, walk around with and right. see if she likes them. And she got such a topical reaction to the implant
on her skin
that yeah. you said to her, you know what, I don't think you should do this.
Yeah, it's interesting. Would it be
prudent for someone like me, if someone's out there that like has latex or plastic or issues, would that be indicative of a potential problem?
Okay, the answer is studies have shown probably not, but the truth
yeah.
is it probably is. There's a lot of probablys. You can't – if you did a study of 5,000 women who had sensitivities and you looked at the occurrence of foreign body response, in other words, capsular contracture mm-hmm. or encapsulation in those mm-hmm. women, it would probably be about the same as the general population, which would indicate that it's probably not a big issue, right?
But
– having said that, there's – science and there's common sense.
Yeah.
Okay. And common
yeah.
sense would dictate that if your body's reacting to them by putting them on top of your chest skin, your body's going to react to them by putting them inside as well.
So maybe that's not a bad idea.
Right. Oh, no, that's not it's not a reliable test. It's a total waste of time.
Oh.
I'm just saying, you know, if you're that sensitive, maybe not have a foreign body stuck in your chest.
Yep. It's like, you know, some things you can't test out, so you have to rely on other people's opinion. Like, I bought washer and dryers that I was like, no, this is the best washer and dryers. But you know what they just came out with at Home Depot?
What?
Samsung has this new set of washer and dryers called Flex Wash Flex Dry, and they're so smart.
What do they do?
They have this technology, first ever, that you can wash two loads and dry two loads of laundry at the same time, in the same machine. Bam, drop
the
mic.
That's seriously incredible.
I can't even wrap my brain around that. Two loads of laundry, wash, dry, same machine.
Wow, we could use that.
Oh, I know. And that way you don't have to mix colors. Your whites don't turn pink. Your pinks don't turn blue.
It must be a huge capacity washer for that.
Yeah, really, really large capacity and a large tumble dryer for everyday items. And what I love, they've got this flat thing.
Yeah.
So you can put sneakers from the gym and like delicate things so that they don't get tumbled around. That is such a great, great feature. Also, I love that they have a steam wash option for removing stains and a self-clean, like kind of like you have your self-cleaning oven.
Yes.
They have a self-cleaning feature so that it doesn't get moldy in there.
Right, because it can stink.
It can stink if you leave it shut because it's wet. Think about it. You're closing the door sealed tight on wet. That breeds mold and bacteria, and that's eventually going to get back in your clothes. You don't want that. And the only alternative is to leave the door open, which, by the way, drives me insane, and it leaves the light on.
That's very cool.
So, you know, you don't have any of that. The coolest part, which you will love.
Yes.
They're Wi-Fi connected.
Oh, really? So it tells you when you're done?
You can set the start. You can start the machines. And you can get alerts to know when it's done.
That's amazing. You know what's weird?
What?
You know my hoodies I wear?
Uh-huh.
They stunk the other day. And I know it's because she put them in the washer-dryer thing and they sat there getting stinky.
Well, that's gross. You know what? I'm going to go to Home Depot. I'm getting the Flex Wash and Flex Dry Samsung.
Well, we're a family of six. We need it.
All right, tell me about this other thing, this lymphoma.
So there's the big concern that breast implants cause cancer. And the cancer we're talking about is a certain type of lymphoma called anaplastic large cell lymphoma, ALCL. Okay? And it's the big deal. If you just put in ALCL right now on Google, this thing just lights up.
Really?
Okay? And so a lot of women who have breast implants are concerned, oh my gosh, I just heard or read about breast implants causing cancer. Do you know how many women... Pop quiz. How many women in this country right now have breast implants? Take a guess. I'll give you a multiple choice.
Okay. Give me a multiple choice.
500,000, 2 million, 5 million, or 10 million?
5 million.
10 million. 10 million women
10
in this country.
10 million women have breast implants?
Are running around with breast implants. How many breast implants do you think are done a year in this country? Over 100,000 or less than 100,000?
Over.
Over 250,000 or less?
Over. You just told me there's 10 million implants.
Well, but that's, you know, these women don't, this isn't the first year.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, it's about 400,000 women a year have breast implants put in.
Wow.
So if you're telling me 10 million are running around with these things that cause cancer, that could be a real problem, right?
So what's the cancer rate?
So first of all, the cancer rate's incredibly low. There's like 29 reported cases, okay?
Okay.
And so the chance of it happening is minusculely small, incredibly small. But it's only been associated with rough surface called textured implants.
Now, are textured implants something that's a relatively new
textured implants have been around for the longest time. I don't like textured implants.
Why?
Because I don't like what they do. They're theoretically were invented to minimize the chance of capsular contracture. They don't. But
What was the feeling behind that?
The idea is that they don't move very much. When you put them in, they sort of stick to the undersurface of the skin, and that may help to prevent the capsule from contracting, because the cells that are in the capsule called myofibroblasts, when they contract, they form a tightened envelope around the implant. And if it's a rough surface, they have trouble communicating with the next cell next to it.
Okay.
And they can't like grab it because they have to go through these valleys and things, and they go, they can't. So that it doesn't work. But I don't like them because they cause rippling a lot. And you can feel the bag because they stick to the undersurface of the skin.
Yuck.
But they're only associated with textured surface implants. So if you have – you're like most women who have smooth surface implants, you have nothing to worry about. Even if you have textured surface implants, there's a much greater chance that you're going to have a problem driving home tonight than you do with your breast implants. So I really wouldn't worry about it. But – just to put a fine point on it and finish it off, because we're probably getting close to this, the end of this, right, is that if you do suffer this problem, it will manifest itself in late development of fluid collection around your implants. Suddenly, years later or months later, most typically years later, your breast will start to swell and you will form fluid around the breast implant and your breast will get bigger. And it's not due to an infection. If that's the case, go to your plastic surgeon and say, hey, I'm worried about this ALCL thing. Do I have a seroma, which is a fluid collection around the implant? And if he knows what he's doing, he's going to take some of the fluid and send it in for CD30, which is a marker for this lymphoma. And if you catch it early enough, there's a very simple treatment. You just take the capsule out and you're cured.
But so how long after having these implants does that present?
Typically more than 5 to 10 years.
Weirdly. Wow.
Yeah.
So after 5 to 10 years, if you notice your breast getting larger and you've got those textured implants.
Go right into your plastic surgeon. Tell them to do an ultrasound to see if you have fluid. If you have fluid, get the fluid out of there. Have it sent off to the laboratory for CD30. And if it's positive, which it won't be, but if it's positive, you know, he's going to need to do a capsulectomy, which means take the entire capsule out. And if I were you, I'd adios the implants at that point. Or at least put smooth in.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
but is this something they would pick up on a regular mammogram?
No.
No.
Nor an MRI.
What about a mammogram with like topography I get?
Nor an MRI.
Wow.
No, there's no imaging study for this.
That's scary.
Now, there is an imaging study. If you develop lymphoma, it's left untreated and it starts to spread throughout your body, then you've got lymphoma, disseminated lymphoma. Now you've got an issue. Now we're going to talk about surgery, chemotherapy, and potentially it's fatal. Having said that, I'm telling everyone about this so they know, because an educated person is an intelligent, good decision-making person. And it's incredibly rare, but for those anybody who's hearing this, if you develop sudden fluid, which is super rare, okay, go to your plastic surgeon, get it taken care of, and don't worry about it. It's funny. You know, I used to hate to fly. Hate.
Oh, you were the worst. I swear, we'd fly somewhere and the little bump would go, ah!
Freak me out, because I still, at this, even at this point in my life, think to myself, how the heck is this multi-million ton device flying through the air? How is this happening? Someone explain this to me. But anyway.
You felt a lot safer when we moved up to first class.
Weirdly, I did. Yeah. I didn't fly first class till I met you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So.
You're welcome.
Yeah. So, and now I realize statistically, you're a lot safer.
In the back.
In any plane. You are in any car at any time.
Yeah, you're also safer in the back.
Yeah. You're safest over the wing, by the way.
Just is that true?
Yeah, over the wings. Yeah. But what I recommend, if you're flying and you're nervous, you're safest with a lot of alcohol in your blood.
Or Valium.
Yeah, or Valium. Valium's good.
Vitamin V.
Vitamin V.
Why not?
Yeah. So I would say that, you know what I love about doing this show?
What?
Number one, this is sort of our date night, because we get to hang out, discuss our favorite topic, which is, you know, health, wellness, and beauty.
By the way, we're writing a new book.
Yeah, on diet and exercise.
Very excited about that.
And we, right after this, we do what?
We go out and eat.
We go out to dinner and have a date night, away from the kids, away from the Orange County life, and we do it up in Los Angeles, and we usually go to one of LA's kind of fun spots and then maybe slightly overeat.
Yep, tonight we're going to Craig's.
Oh, yeah, Craig's.
What I like about Craig's, they have vegan ice cream.
Craig's is got...
Not that I'm a vegan, but, you know, I can't have dairy.
Craig's
and so
got delicious comfort food. You know what the new hot restaurant in Los Angeles is?
What?
We talked about this last time, Tao?
No, we've been there. No, you know where we need to go now, I realize?
Beauty in Essex.
Yeah.
Totally.
Beauty in Essex. Maybe we'll go there next week.
Yeah. Paul just went there last night.
What did he say?
He said there was both beauty and there was Essex. By the way, what the heck is beauty in Essex? What does that mean?
I believe that...
is this a place, Essex? Beauty and... Is this a street?
Essex is a street in New York.
So what's beauty and Essex?
I don't know. But in New York, it started out as this cool restaurant that you have to walk through a pawn shop.
Same in
Not porn, pawn.
Same in Vegas and same here.
They have a pawn shop here, too. But actually, in New York, it was a pawn shop.
I think this one is, too.
Nah, they just build them now.
Oh, it's just a funny front. Yeah. But Paul said the food was really good. Same owners of Tao as Beauty in Essex.
Yeah, I know. They told us that when we were there last. All right, let's try that next week. Because I think the week after we're going to Tao.
Yeah.
With some friends.
Tao. Yum.
Yum.
The coolest new restaurant, though, is Tao, man. I mean, it looks like a movie set in there in Los Angeles. Wow. Impressive.
Super cool.
Yeah.
All right, honey, it's time to say goodbye.
It's time to go to Craig's.
That's it. Oh, hey, you guys, if you haven't checked it out, go check out my new web series at evite.com. It's called Celebrate with Heather Dubrow. If you want to learn how to throw like a fabulous party and get tips.
By the way, you look amazing on it. And yeah, I love the tip of the...
Well, don't tell them.
The uninvited guest. They're like cockroaches.
Totally. Go check it out. It's a really fun show. We're here every Tuesday, Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig, and of course, Heather Dubrow's World every Friday right here on Podcast One. Hey, let us know if you guys want us to do a live podcast show, Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. We would love to do that for you guys. If you guys are interested, let us know your feedback.
And
check out my YouTube channel, Heather's Closet.
And what's happening June 18th, 9 o'clock, Sunday night at 9 p.m. on E, June 18th.
I guess Botched is coming back.
Botch premiere is coming, and it's an incredible season.
Awesome.
And I will be watching it over and over and over again and rewinding my jokes, listening to them, and laughing incessantly.
Yes, we know.
When you're not in the room.
That's okay. I can be in the room, honey.
No, because you catch me doing it, and then you go, really?
Well, after the 47th time, it's kind of ad nauseum. Anyway,
I get funnier the more you listen to me.
So catch the premiere of Botched, and if you want to see where we're going to be next, check us out, heatherdubrow.com. It's got all of our appearances and stuff.
Why is it I find me so funny, and most people don't find me as funny as I find me?
You do find you funny, though.
But it's weird, because I look in the mirror, I don't think I'm good looking, but I listen to my jokes, and I think I'm hilarious. Explain that to me. Will you do that?
Yes. I'll explain it to you after a few cocktails.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. Don't forget to go to Apple Podcasts and leave us your 5-star review. Your reviews are our ratings, and we love, love, love to hear from you. We'll see you guys next week.
Thanks for listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow. Download new episodes every week on the Podcast One app, iTunes, or at podcastone.com.
Hey, everybody. I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
Every Friday, check out my podcast, Heather Dubrow's World.
We also have the Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show every Tuesday.
So don't forget iTunes and Podcast One. Tune in to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig on Tuesdays and Heather Dubrow's World every Friday.